This is a lovely hand-painted little vessel that returned with me from my trip to Russia in 1993. I originally brought this and gave it to my parents, but after my mother passed away, my father said, "You better take that now before one of the other kids gets it." My siblings are like that, by the way. But you're probably, your siblings are too. I don't collect these, but this came from, thank you for sharing $350 with Clear Creek. Now this is just a mug, and it has a, you drink coffee? I don't. I'm not sure anyone would ever use this, but it's pretty, and it sits on the shelves at our house, and it's a little teapot. I won't add any commentary to that. I think this too comes from my mother's collection, I'm not sure. But if you all are familiar, because you live in this area, with the infamous or famous Bybee pottery, this is, it's got BBs on the back, so I know it's, you know, from somebody who, well, I guess that could be something else. But anyway, nice little candy dish that could use some homemade fudge candy, perhaps. Hint, 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 hint. One more. This is an antique, because you see, I was fed out of it. Thank you for those reassuring words. Vessels, each with their own unique purpose. Paul calls you and I vessels. What type of vessels are we to be? We might want to look at what Paul says about that. Will you turn to the fourth chapter of Paul's second letter to Corinth? Paul's second letter to Corinth, chapter 4. I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. Always wait for the pages to stop rustling. That affirms that you are there, or you aren't looking. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, "Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now that is a sermon in itself, but where I want to dwell is the following verses. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So, death is at work in us, but life in you, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, "I believed, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart through our outer self. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." Now, I know that may seem like a wordy dissertation of thinking. But folks, here's what this is about. Here is what we can really give thanksgiving for. That God has chosen you and I to be vessels of his work, to be all that the world will ever see of God is in and through you and me. And that is a heavy, heavy responsibility. Because, friends, no one else is going to do it. If you and I don't be the vessel that God has called us to be, if we're not keeping, if we're not feeding, if we're not just caring what God has done in and through our lives, what more is there to say? What more can there be done? God has chosen you and me, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. These things that we walk around in are temporary. C.S. Lewis said, "You are not a body. You are a soul. Your soul is carried around in this vessel until such time as God determines that your time is up." The psalmist says every day of your life is written down before you are even born. We are treasures in jars of clay. Why? To show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. You know, I'm fearful that many Christians want to take too much credit for some of what they do. You hear some pastors, they talk as if nothing else can be done unless they do it. they go around. Sometimes I wonder if they're really preaching the Word of God. They're so intent with other mindsets of, well, I don't need to tell you guys, you've heard enough of them, but those are the prosperity gospel, who think it's about what's here on earth. They're so tied up in blessings. And that's not to suggest that God doesn't bless us, but their blessings are of the material things of this world. Folks, we are reminded right here that those things are transient, that they're passing away, that they're not going to be eternal like you and I are going to be eternal. We're going to live forever and ever and ever with a holy God and His Son on a remade, recreated earth where Jesus will reign forever and ever. And friends, that belongs to God. I can't contribute nothing to my salvation except to say yes. Yes to what Jesus Christ did upon the cross of Calvary. Yes to the fact that He wants to save my soul for eternity. He loved me so much that He was willing to come to put aside the human, the godly things in order to put on human flesh. Because you see, He wanted to identify with you and me apart from sin, so that He could be the perfect sacrifice of sin. And so, friends, whatever kind of vessel you are, whatever may happen, as Paul says, we are afflicted in every way, verse 8, but not crushed. Elsewhere, we're told God doesn't put so much on us that He won't help us to get through. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Some things I wonder about. Some things I look at in our world. I don't know what the number is this morning. I didn't look, but I know it was in excess of 60 yesterday. 60 lives lost in the fires of California. And during that week before, 13 lives lost in another shooting. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Why? Because I know a holy God is still upon His throne. He still reigns day by day. He is not unaware of everything that is going on in our lives and in the lives of others. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Oh, friends, there's all kinds of persecution going on in our world for those that name the name of Christ. There are days in jeopardy, the fear of death. The truth of the matter is they may not fear death. As so many of the martyrs of old who left record, they welcomed dying for Jesus because they knew they were going to get to see Him. Paul reminds us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He told His disciples, don't worry. Don't be upset. Yes, it's true, I've got to go away. But I go and prepare a place for you. And where I go, you may come and be also. Now, I grant you that's a rough paraphrase, but Jesus' own words, He has a place for you and I in eternity. And He has a place right now for a vessel to be used. Are you filled up with God? Are you and filled up with the things of the world. So that if God keeps filling you, guess what happens? You overflow. And what happens when you overflow? You spill out on others. The glory of God in your life. Oh, my friends. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are always being given over to the death of Jesus for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. That's Paul saying, Jesus living through each and every one of us who have named Him Lord and Savior. So death is at work in us. You know, from the moment you're born, there's one direction you're taking. That's toward death. The moment you're born, you're headed for someday dying. Barring one thing, the Lord's return. And He's taking out His loved ones, His church. So death is at work in us, but life in you. It almost sounds like a contradiction. But Jesus said, if you seek after the world, you get the world, but you get nothing more. If you seek the things of the kingdom, Matthew 6:33, kind of a verse I try to hold on to. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And this part's a paraphrase. Everything else be taken care of. Oh, friends, verse 13, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believe, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we also speak. Friends, are we living out through our vessels the great truth of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus? Knowing that He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into His presence. Can you imagine being forever with Jesus Christ? That's what He intends for you and I. That's what He intends. And we get so easily wrapped up in the things of the world. We get so bound by what's going on around us sometimes that we forget how God has so graciously blessed us with the hope of eternity. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, as you're feeding, as you're watering, as you're carrying about and spilling over of what God has done in your life, for it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving. You may have thought this wasn't going to be a thanksgiving message, but there it is right there in verse 15. Increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Thanksgiving, my friends, not just a meal to gather with family and friends. Well, that's important. It's a great time of enjoying one another. But remembering what God has done, not just through the simple earthly blessings that He bestows upon us. He is so gracious to do that. He is so wonderful to make sure that our needs are met. But the greatest need he has met is that of what he's done in his Son. And it's to the glory of God. Paul essentially wants us to understand that everything we ought to do as a vessel of his, these jars of clay, bring the glory that God is due to him. Through how we live, through what we say and what we do, that he might be honored and praised. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, you know, I find as each passing day goes by, something a little more starts creaking about. And that's not even when I exercise. So our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. I will never leave you nor forsake you, he said. Live that you might honor me. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Now, let that verse soak in a moment. Whatever might be going on in our lives, whatever kind of afflictions or hurts or agonies or whatever they might be, in the scope of eternity, they are momentary. They aren't going to last that long. Preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Paul essentially is saying, boy, I'm not even sure right now as I write this what it's all going to be about. But it's going to be glorious. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient. That is, they're passing away. They're temporary. But the things that are unseen are eternal. Are you a vessel through which God is working to carry about his glory to others? Oh God, the word thanks seems so insignificant as we begin to weigh just all that you've done and are doing and desire us to do as your vessels of this wonderful treasure, the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, fill us that we might spill over into the lives of others, that you may be glorified, and that eternity may be filled with the redeemed, again for your glory. In Jesus' name.